Hello everyone and welcome back to another one of our club preview episodes. Today we are jumping back into our ladder order, and I have to say it's good to be back after talking about some of the launch stuff and some of the position episodes we've been getting into, because today we get to go into the nitty-gritty with a Bomber fan himself. I've got Liam with me. How you doing, mate?
I am absolutely excellent. Thank you for bringing me on, Jono, to talk about a team for which I have zero opinions.
You zero opinions? Never. Never.
It's a rare occasion. But funnily enough, I think the Bombers are actually... they're a difficult team to pick for fantasy because they did not have the same kind of turnover that we've seen from a lot of other teams, at least in the kind of fantasy relevant spaces.
Yeah, definitely a difficult team to look at from a fantasy perspective. But before we get into that, I think let's just dive into how they went last season. Give us a little bit of an update there.
They were absolutely dominant. They didn't lose a single game and actually won the premiership.
Huh. Maybe we watched a different league. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, so if we're going with the real league that actually happened, so it was a 6-win and 4-loss season for the Bombers. They managed to finish 7th. They lost in an elimination final to Geelong, which is very frustrating when we consider that it was the same Geelong side that they had beaten early in the season. In terms of their losses, there was a particularly bad one to West Coast, which funnily enough also preceded West Coast then firing their coach, but really did fail to get wins against some of the top teams in the comp. So they had losses against Adelaide. They managed to lose a game against Collingwood that they ought to have won, and then Gold Coast, who ended up also being a final side that they lost to in round 9. So as much as it was a successful season making finals, it still wasn't one where I reckon they thought they hit their marks in terms of beating a top side.
Yeah, it has seemed hard to crack into that top echelon of teams. But, I mean, on the plus side, it's only the second season that the Bombers have been in the league and they've still managed to have a finals appearance. It's very impressive.
If it weren't for the upstart Sydney, they would appear to be the kind of cream of the crop of the season 7 entrance, but sadly Sydney came from the clouds having not won a game to actually win a final last year. So there's definitely some work to do there.
Yeah. Well, getting into that work, you had a lot of players coming in and out of the club. Can you tell us a little bit about that off-season movement?
Absolutely, I can. I'll do the outs first, and that's mainly to say that there was no one that left via free agency. They were all retirees or delisting. So retiring, we had Danny Marshall, Jess Wooshner, and Kat Phillips. And then delisted, we saw Alana Barmer, Leah Cutting, Joanne Doonan, and Renee Tierney all leave the club. In terms of the trades, what the Bombers did was trade for two of a very similar type of player, a midfielder slash defender. So Madison Gay joins from the Melbourne Demons, and then Bess Keeney has joined from the Gold Coast Suns via the trade period. Importantly, for pre-season signings, the Bombers were able to sign Amy Gaylor from the Calder Cannons before the draft had even started, who looked like she would have been a top 10 to 15 pick. And then as well, they have added Emily Goff and Chloe Adams through the draft, the picks 20 and 38.
Yeah, it's an interesting bunch. You can see how they've really targeted something, which I know we've heard you talk about before, is that Bombers movement off half-back. Maybe something that they're trying to change there, but... so it's an interesting group of players coming in for sure.
It definitely is. What's even more fascinating is Emily Goff is another defender slash winger as a junior, but so far this preseason she has been training predominantly as a forward and played one of the few games she played in the VFLW up there. So I've always had some queries about how the Bombers go about training and drafting key position players at both the men's and the women's level, and I think that will remain the same again for season 2024.
No, it's a fun one. Look, before we get into our fantasy relevance, we've actually got a very special interview. You've managed to have a little bit of a chat with Georgia Nanscorn, who was one of our absolute fantasy jets last season, I think rising in price more than any other player. So I'm really excited what she has to say. I think let's jump across to that now.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate the throw. And yes, we are very welcome. We're very lucky to have Georgia Nanscorn on with us today. Georgia, how are you going?
Yeah, really well. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. I'm going to throw you a nice, easy question first off. How has the preseason been so far? Must be nice to have a normal preseason for you at AFLW level.
Yeah, it's been a really good preseason. It feels like it's been quite a long one, although the official preseason only started, what are we in now, week eight or so. We've had a really good, I guess, pre-preseason as well. Obviously, with AFLW being quite a short in-season, there's a big build-up to it, but it's been going really well. Obviously, as you sort of mentioned, a bit more of a straightforward pre-season for me, coming off an ACL after season one. I guess I didn't sort of hit the pre-season running as well as I would have liked. So this one's been pretty smooth, and I think everyone's just keen to get in some games in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, you've got match sims coming up in about a week and a half now, so that'll be awesome. And I did note that this probably, two VFLW games this preseason is the fewest you've played in a VFLW season in a while. So hopefully that means a bulk AFLW season.
Yeah, no, it was, as all the AFLW clubs have sort of tried to manage the VFL season and different clubs have approached it in different ways. But, yeah, we were keen to obviously roll through a few games and it was good to jump in for a few. And as you say, it's a long time without football, so to play a couple of games is really good. And, yeah, hopefully means I'm primed for the AFLW season coming up.
We have our fingers crossed, and don't worry, there'll be a few questions about some players that you played those VFLW games with. Don't you worry. But before we jump onto that, I wanted to chat about your journey to football. So for those listeners who weren't already aware, I don't know if we could call you a lifetime Aussie Rules player, given that you amassed a total of over 200 caps for the Hockey Roos and attended a Comm Games as well. I can assume that previous professional high-level experience kind of treated you well for the move across to professional AFL. But looking back at the kind of player that you were when you joined North Melbourne straight out of hockey, how different do you feel as an athlete now than you do then?
I guess as an athlete, I don't feel too much different. I think, obviously coming across from an elite hockey environment and jumping into AFLW, which was still is quite in its infancy at the moment. I think the elite athlete side of it, I always had probably down pat pretty well. But as a footballer, I've obviously changed a lot coming in very fresh to North Melbourne with pretty much no games under my belt. I think I'd played a few local games in Perth by the time I was on the AFLW list for North. It was obviously, a whole new learning experience. And, I was trying to take in as much as possible. But, it was all very new. And I think at North I was playing as a small forward and have since discovered that's probably not my best position. So, leaving North, went to Essendon in the VFLW, and that's, I guess, really where I found a home and was able to, be taken, under the wing of some great coaches. You know very well, Brendan Major was a huge influence on the Essendon program and on myself. And I guess it was a place where I was able to, be given the confidence to just enjoy myself and develop and learn footy. And so coming now to, a few years down the track and a season or so of AFLW under my belt, I certainly feel, a lot more comfortable as a footballer and still, of course, so much to learn. Like, we'll talk about the 18-year-olds coming through who have played football for a lot longer than I have. So I still feel like a very young footballer, but certainly a lot more confident than I probably was in my first season at North Melbourne.
Yeah, it's almost like you've actually stolen the run sheet for me, because I was going to ask a follow-up about, what that time at Essendon VFLW level did. And you know, I knowing that you kind of had played small forward and then seeing the way you were able to dominate as a midfielder, I can assume that, you know, you might, you know, not look back at the time at North Melbourne and go, yeah, that was my best football ever. My question then is, would you change your football journey at all? Would you have loved to have played VFLW for a few seasons first before your first AFLW chance? Or do you still think that it was a great way to kind of throw yourself at the problem, see what needed to change, and then make your way back up?
Yeah, I wouldn't change it at all. I guess when I stepped away from hockey initially, it was because I stopped loving the sport and I just wanted to genuinely go into something that I would enjoy doing again and enjoy sport and love sport again. And I'd always enjoyed football, and even though I didn't get to play it at a, you know, any sort of level, kicking it around at school or with dad when I was younger, it's always something I really loved. So the idea when I stopped playing hockey was to just go play local football. And that was in Perth, where I was based at the time. And it was actually before I'd even made that known, I guess, that the North recruiter sort of reached out and said, hey, would you, any chance you want to come across and play for North? And then, yeah, it was really an opportunity that was too good to turn down. All my family live in North Melbourne. It was a great opportunity to get me back home, and you know, why not give it a go? And yeah, it was, you know, as I said, a huge learning curve. North recruited extremely strongly in that first year. They still, you know, have elite midfielders from that first year. There was probably realistically no way to crack in as a midfielder in that team. But yeah, it was great to be, you know, get my foot in the door, I guess. And then once I was delisted from North, literally my thought again was, well, you know, I just want to go have a bit of fun and enjoy myself again. That it's not necessarily to go back on an AFLW list or like, you know, play AFLW was not the goal as to why I started playing footy. And so, yeah, I was so happy just to go back to the VFL and found a place that I really loved being and felt really valued, and got to play there for a great few years and winning a premiership. And then for AFLW to kick off that, you know, back again off the back of that, is just a bonus, really. So certainly wouldn't change the pathway at all. And yeah, feel very fortunate and grateful for where it all is now.
Yeah, that's a really great answer. I really love it. And one, you know, you kind of mentioned it. You had that grand final winning performance for the Essendon VFLW team, cruelly marred by a third quarter ACL injury. You talked about it a little bit at the top, but do you feel like that injury and the recovery is well in the rearview mirror now?
Yeah, look, it's still a day that I think of with really mixed emotions, and probably still there's that tinge of sadness there rather than an overwhelming like celebration of unfortunately what the year was. And yeah, look, it now it's in the past, and I think it just forms a bit of, you know, part of my journey and story to it all. And I think, you know, makes me even more happy to and grateful to be out playing, and then being able to play last year a full AFLW season made it even more special, I guess, given the setback we had in the first year.
Yeah, and it was definitely a special season for the Bombers, which is my attempt at a segue across to some more questions about the squad. So that was Essendon's most successful season, albeit it's only its second, and unfortunately soured by a difficult final performance against Geelong. How is the squad feeling about its prospects for the season ahead, and how does it view, kind of in the rearview mirror, what last season was?
Yeah, we obviously made huge progress last year, and to make finals in our second season is something that we can't, you know, it can't be diminished. Like we are proud of that. But I think, you know, it obviously highlighted the taste for, you know, wanting a lot more than that. And you know, we recognize that we're a little bit way off the top teams in the competition, and ultimately we want to match it with them and be beating those teams. So whilst we were happy with making finals, it was certainly not something we're satisfied with. And you know, I think going into this year, the focus isn't on making finals. It's progressing sort of where we are, you know, our gameplay. We really have stripped it back to thinking about the process and, you know, very, it is cliche, but you know, that's what we're doing. Like we know that if we can take care of that, then, you know, results will come. And, yeah, we want to be seen that we're building on our performances last year and starting to really match it with the top teams in the competition, which it's always hard to tell where you sit, you know, when you do a preseason without, you know, seeing what anyone else is doing. But we feel like within ourselves, we've developed really, really well. Again, having a better pre-preseason, I guess, where we're able to come together a little bit more, has put us ahead. Like when we hit actual preseason, we were a lot, you know, more ahead than what we were, you know, in the previous two seasons. So, yeah, we're really, you know, happy with our progress and I think keen to see sort of where we sit once we actually get into games.
For sure. And my personal anecdote was watching the match sin against North Melbourne last year at Windy Hill. And I was a little worried because it was like a 5-goal margin at quarter time. And then North Melbourne rolled out the next week and beat the Bulldogs by over 100 points. And I'm like, oh, maybe North Melbourne are that good. And as it turns out, they were. Yeah. Talking about things, though, that you've added, you talked about the process kind of and the goals for this season. There were definitely some two key additions in a very specific part of the field, which is that wing defensive player. So, and they're both very experienced. So Matty Gay and Bess Keeney have come across from Melbourne and the Gold Coast. How have they settled into the club, knowing that I think Bess Keeney is now also already in the leadership group?
Yeah, well, both of them are actually. So Matty and Bess. So that just speaks to the leadership that they've brought in and had an immediate impact within our group. I guess we are still quite a young group. You know, we look at the ages across it, and we are, you know, still very young. So to get a couple more like really experienced, mature heads in that have had experience at, you know, obviously Melbourne winning a grand final a couple of years ago, and Gold Coast who have been on the up as well. So to bring that experience from some successful teams, has been incredibly valuable. And not to mention what they add on the football field as well, in terms of their playing ability, will be huge as well. But certainly from a leadership perspective, for our group has been enormous.
Yeah, and I apologies for getting Matty Gay wrong. That's my bad. But I'm also very curious to know kind of what positions they'll be lining up in, because both are defenders predominantly, but Bess plays on a wing, and then Matty has obviously been a utility that's rolled through the midfield. Are they going to be playing similar roles that they have at previous clubs, or is there something specific they're going to be doing at Essendon this year?
Oh, look, without going too much into the plans, and to be honest, we haven't gone into match sort of selection stuff either. We've got our first scratch match coming up this weekend, and then sort of inter-club match, and then into some practice games. So yeah, look, they've been training in those positions. I'm sure it will depend a lot on the week, but yeah, the beauty is that they are very versatile and with their experience can probably move around depending what is needed for each week. So that versatility has been great for us.
A very good answer for what is a very difficult question that I was somewhat expecting. So I then can throw perfectly to another great leader who has some versatility. Bonnie Toogood had clearly her best season as an AFLW player. She's also incredibly versatile. What's it like playing with such a, let's call her a complete player, because I don't know if she's got any flaws or any part of her game that she doesn't have at least some skill in.
Oh, Bond's been obviously massive for us across the first couple of seasons. A co-captain, leads extremely well on and off the field. And yeah, she took her sort of game to another level last year. You know, she was reliable in even our games where we really struggled, you know, as a team. She individually could be very proud of her performances, and yeah, to have her up forward kicking goals and knowing that she will compete all day, you know, and do that for us, but then also be able to throw her, you know, as that sort of spare in defense if needed, which she did extremely well last year, and just for a bit of that stability, you know, is incredibly valuable. And you know, she's also had a great pre-season and yeah, really looking forward to see what she can do this year, because I think, you know, we all know that if we're going to be a successful team, she's going to be, you know, a really huge part of that.
And yeah, that role that she had, you talk about playing as a forward, even thrown as a spare in defense, she rucks at times and then also plays a center bounce role. So you know, from a Bombers fan perspective and from a football fan, she's great to watch, and she's also a great fantasy player. And that kind of, just one quick thing I wanted to confirm, I presume she'll be playing a similar role this year. You don't need to give too much away, I think, if you said yes to that, given that she's a pretty known quantity based on last season.
Well, yeah, look, I think we all know her onewards, her forward ability and her goal kicking, but yeah, you've already touched on it, the versatility that she has around the ground, again, depending on what we need. And game situations, yeah, she can really do anything that's thrown at her.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go from one favourite, fan favourite, to another. You were one of the top most highly owned fantasy players last year as a kind of breakout midfielder, spending a lot of time in there. A question for you, though, is if you were going to pick someone as a new entrant who might break out or break into the midfield group this year, who would it be?
Yeah, it's a good question without going too much into fantasy points that I know
that's
my mum.
That's a loopsy fine.
I know my mum was probably following along that more than I was. But yeah, look, we've got obviously some big people in there, like Matty Prasparkas is always going to you know, be one of the standouts. Steph Kane as well as our other co-captain. We've had some, you know, really good draftees. Chloe Adams is one of our young draftees who's just come in, hit the ground running. She's so willing to learn and really love the way that she plays. Kind of reminds me a little bit like head up. You know, she wears the helmet, gets her head over the ball, and think she's broken her nose already in the preseason, and the poor thing keeps getting hits there, but just, you know, shows what a hard player she is, which you know, you just love to see. So no, she's one of my favorite new draftees. We've got three great ones that we picked up this year, but as an inside mid, it's yeah, love to see that from the young.
Well, let me go straight on to it. The next question I was going to ask, you've already mentioned Chloe Adams, who was the Bombers' the second draft pick from this season, who you played, who's also playing VFLW this year. The Bombers had two other kind of preseason draft picks. So there's Amy Gaylor and Emily Goff. Now, from what I saw in the VFLW, Emily Goff is training as a forward this year, but Amy's a bit more of a utility, has played in multiple different positions. Is there some specific lean in where she's been training this preseason, and kind of what have your first impressions of her been?
Oh, I mean, both of them have been excellent. Like you talk about your kids coming in being ready-made footballers, and both of them do have that, you know, football ability that just comes, you know, so naturally now. So yeah, look, Amy had, I think, I can't even remember where she played through the VFL. I think it was
a bit of everywhere as well,
all over. Yeah, so that versatility again is obviously something that's been that, you know, the recruiting team have looked at, and Goffey as well. She's also got a lot of versatility. I think even played down back in her, like, through her draft years. So,
and a wing as well.
You know, she's also got good size. Like, you can really, you know, throw her anywhere. But yeah, look, your guess is always as good as mine. What the you know, the lineup will be going into it. As we say, we kind of move people around quite a bit through our internal match sims, and yeah, what the actual makeup will be yeah, will be really interesting because, yeah, with that versatility, it leaves it open for so many options. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing what both of those girls can do as well. And, yeah, again, just testament to the recruiting and that we picked up three really good kids and really talented footballers as well.
Yeah, and they're, it's going to be a keen watch for me this preseason to kind of see where they're all lining up. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to run out of time to talk about one of the most versatile players in the Bombers, which is Matilda Dyke, who is a ruck wing combo, because I do actually it's a very rare combination. It may be her and Mark Blitzarves are the only two in all of Aussie rules, but I do have to throw to a question about the forwards. So the Bombers' first two draft picks in that first season were Paige Scott and Amber Clark. Now, both of them have played a midfield/forward role. If you were to kind of talk about what you expect from this year, is there one you would say is more likely to spend some midfield time? Who would it be? Or are you seeing them both more as forwards this year?
Look, both have rolled through at different stages. As I said, sort of in the previous bit, we are keeping it very fluid through our preseason. I don't think you really want to limit where they can play. And you just don't know like what the season will throw at you. You can have a pretty set midfield, I guess, and it only takes, you know, touch wood, an injury or something here or there. We saw last year Steph Kane, unfortunately, with a bad hamstring, and it throws things all out of whack. So, you know, both of those players have, a lot of ability to roll through the midfield and have done so, you know, at different times, as you say. So, I think I'll be watching as keenly as you to see, what the lineups look like as we go into.
And I've got to ask you a question. I've got to ask you, do you think Paige Scott will win Mark of the Year at some point? Because I reckon she tries every week.
I think that's a pretty fair chance. Flies for a lot and, has certainly the ability to. So I think the vertical leap is huge, incredibly powerful athlete. Both on the ground and off the ground. So I think Mark of the Year could well and surely be in contention.
Yeah, she's obviously uber physically talented and then just breaks apart some games. So she's definitely a keen watch for all in the fantasy community and also Bombers fans to see how she goes this year. That's all for the substantive questions I've got to ask you. I've just got to throw to one more, and it's something we ask to every interviewee that we have. If you were going to talk about the player that is most likely to break out for the Bombers this year, who would it be?
Look, I think I've probably touched on them all, to be honest. Our three draftees, Chloe Amy, Emily Goff have all been, excellent. Our two new additions in leaders with Bess and Maddie Gay. If I was probably to throw in one more, I'm just excited to see what Daria Bannister can do coming back after her ACL, which, she was having a great season before that game against Richmond, and she's just had a great rehab recovery. She has hit back into match sim, just, looking like she hasn't missed a beat. So I think we really missed her, hard at it ability, to win the ball, to get to contests and hit it hard. So I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do coming back this year.
Yeah, same. I think the Bombers definitely looked best when she was dominating as a high half forward last year. Well, Georgia, thank you so much for your time today. That was an excellent chat, and I wish you the best this season personally, another season removed from the ACL recovery, and all the best for the Bombers this year.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. Jeez, that was interesting. I'd completely forgotten that she was a hockey roux back in the day. That's always interesting to see these cross-sport athletes.
What's even more fascinating is the sheer volume of games that she's played as a hockey roux. She's a third fastest all time to 200. It's an absolutely remarkable achievement to get to where she got to. And as much as I have talked about lengths of interviews this preseason, I definitely took some liberties as a Bombers fan, but I thought of all journeys to football that we might get a chance to speak to on this podcast, I can't think of any that are more interesting and filled with unique details than Jean Anscorn's.
Yeah, a fascinating journey. You can really see the professionalism that comes through. But look, I think there's some interesting insights that she's brought up about the Bombers, and I'm hoping that we can hear a little bit of how that's going to affect our fantasy-relevant players coming out of the Bombers, because we have our top five list. Look, there's a lot of players that I think vie for that most important or most likely to be owned by every coach in the league. You know, Ruby Schleicher is one of those. Ebony Marinoff is another. But when it comes to the forward line, I think our number one on the list here is potentially the most important player in our teams.
Yep, and she's someone that got her own question in the interview with G, and that's Bonnie Toogood. And for all that are potentially concerned, it does not sound like we should expect anything different in 2024 as we did in 2023, where outside of Laura Gardner, she was the best forward. And she did it with a role that was as Swiss Army knife as you could ever expect anyone to have. She's exceptional as an intercepting player off halfback, late in quarters. She's great at stoppages. She lays a lot of tackle. She kicks a bunch of goals. She basically has no quiet moments. And I would be surprised if we saw anything different again this year. Make it even better. She's the captain. And in this instance, in all likelihood, all that the captain's going to do is put herself in positions where she can help the team out the most. Most of the time, that is in positions where the ball is going to be, where the ball cannot afford to be. It's a perfect recipe for fantasy scoring. What she managed to do in leading the competition in marks, third for contested marks, I would be shocked if she didn't average more than five tackles a game. Again, I would be, again, surprised if we saw anything below a 97, 98 average, given where she finished last year.
Yeah, she was phenomenal last year. I think she carried a lot of people's forward lines. And this year, I think she's got nearly 20 points on the next highest averaging forward from last season, and then 26 to the next. And it just drops away even further from there. Are you starting her on your side?
It'll be a surprise if anyone could get close. Yeah, she's on my side. Like, I think if you're going to pay up for a premium that you are certain are going to be a premium, I think your number one should be, well, is there anyone else on this line that I think can get close? And we've probably, in many fantasy formats, we could be guilty of being overconfident. I just don't know if that's true of Bonnie Toogood.
I'd honestly be comfortable if she only averaged 90, still saying that it was worth starting her on my side. Like, there's so much room for error, given how much higher her average is than everyone else.
Absolutely. And I also just can't imagine many worlds where I trade her out. So it would be reliant upon me. If I didn't start her, it's like, can she get cheap enough for me to be upgrading to her from a mid-priced player? And looking at the cadence we're going to need, that's going to be real tough to do.
So it's good to hear that there's at least one exceedingly easy lock from the Bombers to start the season. And number two on the list, you chatted a lot about in the interview, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It's hard not to chat about the person you're talking to, and it's Jean Anscorn. And my analysis here is similarly simple. She's someone that had a very, very different fantasy scoring profile between the start of the season and the end of the season. First five games, she averaged 62.8 points with a high of 85. In the final five games, she averaged 100 with a high of 122 against the West Coast Eagles. She's going to come into the season, therefore, priced at 81. And I think that means that you go, well, if you think G is going to do the same thing that she did in the back half of the season, that is 20 points of upside. And the Bombers have a great run for midfielders to start the year with Fremantle, who were easy to score against last season, St Kilda, Adelaide, and what's the other one? West Coast. That's a great group of potential options for opponents.
Yeah. I've got her in my side right now, and I was actually kind of surprised because I think all of what you've said sounds great, but when I had her in my side, you brought up one key concern that you had with Nanscorn, which I was surprised to hear.
Yeah, and it's Steph Kane. So I'll spell out my thinking here. That big improvement in the back half of the year, I think, could probably come down to two key reasons. And they are very much, if one is true, then pick her. If the other is more true, you shouldn't. You can say it's her first season playing predominantly a midfield role at AFLW level. She'd been a low time on ground player as they looked to build her back from an ACL injury. And it was in the back half of the year that the Bombers really did also play their best football and were able to dominate the most out of the midfield. And so it was just the Bombers realised that G Nanscord should be on the field more and she can play her most natural role. She's a high tackle player. She's an excellent in and under option. Her work with Maddie to get clearances and width at stoppage is exceptional. If that's true, I think 100% she's worthwhile picking. That's 20 points of value pretty clearly. The only concern that I have is that the other potential option is that it's because vice captain Steph Kane was injured in round 7. And after in rounds 8, 9 and 10 was where we saw some of G's best scoring. And Steph Kane has been a CBA midfielder for her time at Essendon, as much as she spent a large portion of her career at Fremantle prior to joining the Bombers as a winger slash inside midfielder, she became a dedicated inside mid and therefore was taking away some of the CBAs. It was when she got injured that G saw a real pop in her scoring. I am therefore a little concerned that as the Bombers look to build in Steph Kane and potentially see some inside midfield time for some rookies like Amy Gaylor and Chloe Adams, and then also someone who saw CBAs at the back end of last year in Brooke Walker, I'm a little concerned that we may see more of that low time on ground Jean Nanscorn again, which is someone who can score 60s and not 120s. That's my worry.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine, given how powerful she looked in that back half of the year, that they wouldn't be starting her in there. But it's a lot of chefs in the kitchen in that midfield right now.
And it's also the fact that it's a co-captain.
Mm.
That's the thing that alarms me. And someone who predated G being a predominant midfielder. And that's why I'm a little concerned. And it's something I watch in the preseason. It's just going to be really tough for me to pick her. And I know I'm going to be grappling with this choice because of that great run to start the season. It's going to be hard to, I think if she's got a good role and I don't start her, to trade into her, knowing that it might not go on forever. That's my conundrum at the moment. And I have had her in and out of my side because she's at a perfect price point for me at like that M3, M4.
Yeah, it's a tough one to watch. And I think that practice game will be interesting. Keep an eye on that one. The next option on the list, it sounds like is going to have even more trouble to break into the midfield than I thought she would. Can you tell us a little bit about Paige Scott?
I can. She is an enigma, but she is a physical freak. And we talked about her in the interview as well. She has tantalized us with a fantasy scoring game that, if anything, she is the midpoint between Jean Nanscorn and Bonnie Toogood, in that she has an excellent set of hands and looks great at stoppages, but lays so many tackles when she's there. She doubled her tackles between her rookie season and last season. She's going to come into this year priced just as hair below 50 in a forward line where we don't have that many options. The issue that I've got is she's very inconsistent too. She is known for an entire game against Brisbane in her first gear, scoring a -1. And she had scores of 28 and 37 across last year and 34. That's not good scoring. That's no. Really, really dangerous.
A negative score is impressive in some degrees, honestly.
Oh, legit. And it's also a difficult one to predict because sometimes her good scoring comes in matches where she does not see CBAs. And it's going to be a question of how does she
grow as a footballer? Is she someone that needs to see CBAs to see the ball around the ground? She's an excellent mark, but sometimes she gives away a bunch of free kicks because she tries to take too many speckies and gets done for unrealistic. It's so tough to pick what type of player Paige Scott is going to be. And therefore, it's one where, yeah, like, is it the tackling inside midfield great player, or is it a deep forward who could actually kick a bag of goals in her career and play a bit like Chloe Shear? And I just don't know.
Yeah, I feel like she's one of the players the Bombers has that has one of the most all-round games. It's just finding it a way to consistently impact, you know? Like, when you see her at full flight when she's given the don't argue and she's, like, so fierce in the contest, it's really exciting to watch. It's just, as you say, she goes missing. So I'm curious what the answer is. I'd always assumed that it was going to be, you know, when the older generation of midfielders retires that she steps in, but it does look like she's developing far more as a forward than anywhere else.
Yeah, and unfortunately we didn't see her in the VFLW in kind of a pre-season playing midfield time, so that's the worry. It's still the name that I watch in the preseason and read the match sim reports, because I do think that underneath the inconsistent exterior is a potential fantasy like superstar.
Yeah. Now, number four on our list is someone that seems to have gotten a lot of attention when the switch first happened, but it doesn't seem like you're too keen on the fantasy opportunities here for this player.
Yes, it's a name that was very popular when draft season happened, as you mentioned, and it's Maddie Gay. And I can 100% see why. I think you look at her scoring history when she was at Melbourne, she had a season in season 5 where she averaged 71 with a high score of 103. That is exceptional. Here's my concern. That Maddie Gay was a midfielder. As we've just discussed, the Bombers have quite a number of midfield options that they're already struggling to put together. I think that that means that in order to score that highly, she's going to need to play a role in the Bombers' defence that is a very ball-dominant role. And she was already someone who was taking kick-ins last year, and I think she took 12 in Season 7 and like 17 or 18 in Season 8. So she was still getting a bit of ball back there in a Melbourne defence that probably saw less of the ball in their defence than the Bombers will. And also, getting to the heart of my concern, the Bombers do not accumulate the ball particularly well across halfback. I think that they have moments where they really do show the ability to chain it up, and we saw some decent scoring games from someone like a Brooke Brown when it all worked together properly. But I think what the Bombers really struggled with was switches. They're not a particularly adept side at creating width and width quickly via chip mark style footy to then push the ball to go out the other side. And that's often where you get a lot of scoring. It's the attempted switch to then bring it back. That's where you get a lot of defensive scoring.
Yeah.
And now if Maddie Gay can bring across that skill from Melbourne, hallelujah. That I will absolutely praise be. It's just, I don't trust it.
Yeah, it's challenging to have a coach have a player like Bonnie Toogood ahead of the ball and to say, nah, switch it to the other side of the ground when you know that Toogood's going to bring it to ground every time in a contest. It just seems like a simpler strategy that they've been relying on pretty successfully.
Yeah, I also, well, I think it's successful sometimes, but I think that in games where they're being really pressured, like they were against Geelong in that elimination final, it was probably a lack of forethought and planning on where to structure up when you don't have the ball such that the switch can absolutely happen. You're not just caught standing in no man's land. And I think there are too many times where the Bombers aren't preemptively setting up so that the switch is a possibility. So I think Maddie Gay is going to struggle to provide the value that we want and that we need, priced at 54. What would you say is like a good number for her to hit? You'd want to see her averaging, what, mid-60s? Low to mid-60s?
Mid-60s sounds about right, yeah.
I cannot think of many times last season where I sat and watched, yep, there's a mid-60s defender kicking around at the Bombers. And it's almost all to do with the fact that they just are, they're not that type of team. As much as I wanted Brooke Brown to be when I picked her last year, she's just not, they're just not like that. I hope it changes because it annoys me, but I do wonder.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe Gay and Keeney can sort that
Please.
Out. But look, getting to our last pick on the list, I think this is an absolute class player, someone that I had in my team last season as well. Why don't you tell us about number five?
Number five should come as no surprise, and it's Madison Prespakis. She averaged 96.5 last year, so she's going to come into the season quite expensive, but it was still also her best season of her career. She'd previously been someone that had flirted. She'd never actually been above a 90 averaging player, but looked to see some improvement in her tackling numbers and also just got more possessions. The reason why I'm interested in her is, I think firstly, she was probably 102, 103 averaging player until she saw an extremely heavy Lucy Single tag in the game against the Gold Coast Suns. And I think the Bombers really struggled to help Maddie break that. And I believe that this is the type of player that would probably work. And the Bombers are probably aware of that this offseason and will work to help Maddie break it in the future. I think the other thing that I like about Maddie is she's 24, she's a known entity, and her first, as I was talking about earlier, the run for the Bombers to start the year is excellent. And you look at the score she had against the opponent, she's got in her first four games. Start off with Fremantle. She scored a 75, but that was with a heavy tag from Ange Stannett, who is now missing, not playing for Fremantle anymore. She had West Coast, where she scored 114 last year. She's got St Kilda, where she scored 109, and Adelaide, where she scored 92. I think that even priced, even at like a $1.24 million price tag, I think Maddie, if you're looking to run an overpriced M3, that first four games of the season may see her rise 200K. And you go, yeah, that's a good start to the year. Maybe I look to downgrade to get similar value as the rest of the Bombers' schedule gets a little bit more tricky.
No, I do like the play. And she's someone that's just so consistent in her performances. Even with those scores, she was seeing attention in other games and just powered through it. So someone that, as much as you hear of the tag threat, I think is, I'm not as worried as I have been in other seasons. Unless, of course, she comes up against single again in that double bye round. So
yeah,
someone to keep an eye
that's
out for.
Kind of, that's kind of why I've tossed up a structure with Maddie in my team because I really like this Bombers run to start the year. I think the only run that might be better for midfielders is Gold Coast. And I think that I'm more hot on the idea of starting a Charlie Rowbottom than I am on starting on Maddie. But I think the run combined with her consistency means she's a very, very real option for me to start with. Probably much more likely than Maddie Gay, for example.
Yeah, I think you're going to be excited when we get to the Gold Coast episode. There's a little bit of interest in that midfield as far as I can tell, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Look, coming in is the little Jono special that we have.
Jono special.
The Jono special. This was a challenge because I think there are five very relevant players, and then I think it falls away quite hard here. But I think a little bit of digging, which we did a little before this episode, I think we've got an interesting one, and that is Mia Bush. So last year started the season as a rookie price defender, as she did the year before, and only averaged the 36, I think it was, across the season, which, you know, is obviously nothing to, you know, write home about. But I think if we're talking about how she's developing, because she's only 20 years old, coming into her third season, she's put up a few games in the VFLW this year, playing off that halfback and occasionally rolling through the midfield a little bit. And her three games, she had a 93, a 68, and an 89, which are pretty impressive numbers. So averaging nearly 20 disposals through those three games, having quite a lot of tackles. I think these are very promising numbers. Obviously, it's always difficult to transition that to the AFLW level, but I think with the sort of turnover in players that you guys have got, I think there's a lot of emphasis about how you guys are going to move the ball out of defense, because I really like how Keeney moves and I really like how Gay moves. If you guys have any change there, I think Mia Bush is going to be one that benefits greatly.
Yeah.
I want to know your thoughts, though, as the resident Bomber fan.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I like about Mia Bush is I believe that her best scoring games last year came when she spent more time closer to the ball, because she is an incredible distance and endurance runner, loves a tackle, probably was working into her possession game. I think that if she's able to spend some more time around the ball, potentially as a tagger, who the Bombers didn't really have running through the midfield last year, I think that there's a 50 averaging player, which is 15 points of upside on what she's priced at. And again, coming with that good run to start the year, she's definitely a name and a position to watch in the preseason. Maybe if you, I'd say for a D4, she's an awkward price, but not an impossible player to pick.
Yeah, I feel like out of the mid-priced players that we have in defense, we know it's not a particularly strong group. So I feel like there's a few situations where you might be looking for someone around that price. And honestly, there aren't many better options there. So definitely one that I think this preseason, if we see in those practice games, the ball is being switched a little bit more, she's one that could really benefit.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. As much as I'm a little bit burnt from the experience of owning her last year, I think I saw some moments when watching VFLW games that has me intrigued.
Well, I think that's about going to sum it up for the Bombers. Where are you expecting to finish this year?
Probably about the same.
Yeah, top 8 hopes. I love it.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to the development of a defensive structure that I trust, and then also a second goal-scoring mid to tall forward that's consistently available. That's what I think is big. It could be Dario Bannister's return that really kicks us into gear.
Look, that's going to wrap us up here. So if you're looking out for us on the socials, you can find us at FreeKickWPod on Instagram or Twitter. And of course, look for us on YouTube as well. Otherwise, have a lovely rest of your week.
Enjoy. We'll hear from us soon.
Bye.
Bye.